This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, When Will These Things Be? The Next Journey. And the author is A.S. Kovar. And representing A.S. Kovar is Tom Mayhew, and Tom joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Steve.
Well, good to have you with us. I'm going to read just a little of what A.S. Kovar has written about her book. She says this book looks at three different angles of the events leading up to the end of the age. We join Jesus and his disciples as Jesus answers their questions about when these things will be. Then the scene shifts to when John visits heaven and watches what unfolds before the new age begins. From there, the story paints a picture of what happens in the world consistent with the first two angles. This book helps the reader to look from God's eternal perspective rather than simply focusing on our day-to-day existence. Obviously, a very researched and pondered and prayed about kind of publication to help us to see things in a different way?
Yes, I hope that it results in that. The book is an attempt to bring together a lot of years of research, as you said, and just pondering and meditation over the issue of end times, and this book is something that will inspire, I think. It certainly has inspired me to look at these issues and to perhaps draw some conclusions. The conclusions are sometimes a little bit elusive because nobody really knows for sure. So a lot of this is conjecture, but A.S. Kovar has pulled together lots of scriptural background, I would say, and experience that she has had personally to put together a pretty believable story. The events as they unfold, I think, will look quite interesting as time goes on. This book has an interesting grasp on these events.
You know her well, and she has asked you to represent her. Why is that? Why are you speaking with us instead of her?
That's a very good question, and I can only put together what I think is a good answer. She wants to remain anonymous for a variety of reasons. At this point, I mean, she's looking forward to a book down the road, which may disclose more of her own reasoning and background. But at this point, she wants the focal point to be the issues in the book rather than her and her life. So. Therefore, she has opted to remain anonymous at this point, and she wants to guide the reader along the lines of the content of the book rather than her own background, her own life, her own words, as it may be. She wants to really focus on the book.
Well, she has studied geochemistry and mathematics. Also, she is gotten her a master's thesis, and at one time was an agnostic. What happened?
Well, she is probably one of the most brilliant people that I have ever had the opportunity to meet and interact with. I mean, she, as you said, she has worked in these areas of chemistry and has a very scientific and mathematical mind. There was a point in her life, I would say it probably in her late teens and 20s, where she began to really wrestle with some of these issues with her from her scientific mind, and came to the conclusion that there was some truth out there that she needed to wrap around in her own mind and try to make a sense out of a worldview that that was contrary to what she had focused on before, but it made sense to her at this point and in her early 20s, and as life unfolded for her, it merely confirmed the assumptions that she had made at this point in her life, and she has stuck with it for the last 30 plus years that I have known her, and quite a profound story. She went from one of belief and agnosticism to one of a very strong conviction and belief system. So,
well, she says that she had a direct encounter with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she talks about in general, anyway. I don't know, does her book mention anything more about that?
No, it really doesn't. Again, I think she's kind of looking forward to perhaps writing that down in a future book synopsis. But this particular book doesn't enlighten it much on that issue.
What is the encouragement of her book? When will these things be?
Well, I would say the encouragement is to look at all of these events as they both have happened and are happening and will happen, and provide some hope. There is a strong tendency within the human animal to become desperate and to look at situations from a standpoint of fear and agony. But this book really presents the fact that there is hope available, and lots of hope, as one aligns themselves with Jesus and just knowing that there has been an eternal plan in place, and it will continue to unfold as time goes on, and there is a lot of hope that's associated with that. There's also the other side of judgment and condemnation for those that choose not to align themselves with the plan of God through His Son Jesus. So,
she says that her book is solidly grounded on a rock, the Word, on a rock, the Word, as she calls it. It's not only relevant, it also only proposes scenarios based on what the Bible reveals, and it consistently follows the order in which the Bible presents things.
One of the most fascinating things that I have found in this book, as I have read through it, is the large presence, the consistent presence of Scripture. She has an interesting way of quoting Scripture, not only from Revelation but from other books in the Bible, Matthew and Zechariah and Daniel, and other places as well. She doesn't overwhelm the reader with those scripture segments or quotations, but she intersperses them throughout the book with her own insights and applications in between. So it is a very readable rendition, I think, of putting these scriptures together that seem to perhaps parallel each other, or perhaps tag on to each other from beginning to end, kind of thing, with her insights in between. So it becomes a very readable story, and when you finish it, you will have realized that you have read most of Revelation, particularly, and a lot of other passages of Scripture that go along with it. And maybe in the past, you've been kind of afraid of those. In fact, even may have steered away from those because they're confusing, or they're not, I don't know what to make of it. So all of a sudden, here is a very believable story that's put together from these passages that you have steered away from in the past.
Many Christians would, I'm sure, state that to them, Revelation is very difficult to read.
That's often the case, yes, that's often said.
And she has taken Revelation, she's focusing on three different prophecies. Is that what the book is doing?
Well, yes, there's three different prophecies that are mentioned in that more than three, but three main themes, I guess you would say, that she tries to camp around. And that's something that really seems to come to life in this book, is that her ability to develop these themes of prophecy.
And also that deception is rampant, and as Christ said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, as found in Matthew. So she is there as a voice of warning?
There is a voice of warning, for sure. Again, there is a very believable description of the Antichrist throughout the book that begins to take more and more power through the book of Revelation and wages war against God and against his plan with his people. And she traces that story quite effectively and profoundly as the book develops.
Now tell us about her view of the rapture.
Well, oftentimes, at least popularly, it seems like the rapture is thought to be something that will happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. In other words, the church would be taken out of the earth's environment and earthly events at the beginning of the tribulation period that so much of Revelation focuses on. Her theory and presentation within this book is based on the fact that the rapture probably occurs halfway through the tribulation, or at least far enough through it to where the church and believers will experience some of the consequences of these issues, these earthquakes and storms and famines and things that Revelation describes. The church would probably experience some of that, but that the rapture will come at some point, but not necessarily right at the beginning, is probably most popularly viewed at this point.
And she also talks about the Great Tribulation is not God's wrath.
Yeah, the tribulation is actually Satan's wrath. In other words, he is behind the events that are so troublesome to the world worldwide. It's not so much God's wrath; it's Satan's wrath that is unleashed, and there is an attempt to dethrone God, if you will, because of his wrath and his ability to have an influence in the world system.
What about her view that presidential elections will be suspended?
Well, that's kind of an interesting application that is made in this. Oftentimes the question is asked, particularly amongst American Christians, well, what about the United States in Revelation? And it's not specifically mentioned as a nation or as an entity, but the author suggests in this book that that could be explained by because of added events, hurricanes and earthquakes and famines and worldwide tragedies of one type or another, the elections in the United States could be suspended. In other words, the president might suggest that we will temporarily suspend the elections because the economy is so bad, the worldwide conditions are so bad that we need to focus on that rather than focus on the elections right now. But we will hopefully have elections, but then she points out in the book that may not happen. When the time actually comes, it will remain to be inconvenient to have elections, and therefore the United States, as we now know it, may cease to exist because of the democracy or democratic patterns that we have come to appreciate and enjoy will no longer be allowed.
Much of the time, she said, she felt more like a scribe than a writer, simply recording what she was seeing.
Well, that's something that I have talked with her about at different points, and she says that she describes how she feels like when she starts to put her thoughts down on paper that it just began to flow in some ways that made it actually a little bit beyond her control, and she is very gifted in terms of analyzing things and drawing conclusions from her analyses, but I think that she experienced even one step beyond that, in that there's some things that came together, that some insights that developed that she was not even aware were happening until it had already shown up on paper before her eyes. So that's kind of an interesting phenomenon for sure.
The title of the book, When Will These Things Be? The Next Journey, and the author is A.S. Kovar, and Tom Mayhew has been with us talking about her book. Tom, tell us how to get the book.
Well, the book the book can be obtained online. I mean, I have seen it on like Amazon.com, and I'm not exactly sure what all the avenues or resources are for getting the book, but I know it can't be obtained. So
sure, all online retailers, I'm sure, have it, as well as Westbow Press.
Sure, I'm absolutely sure of that.
Well, Tom, thank you for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Westbow Press. Thank you very much, Tom.
You're very welcome.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on toginet.com.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Get ready for So You Think You Can Host, a radio contest with Kathy Bagan. Thursday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet. So You Think You Can Host is a radio contest where you, the audience, get to choose who will be TogiNet's next great host. You, the audience, will get to choose and vote for who your favorite contestant is. And then when we tally and announce the winners at the end of the contest, someone's going to win a radio show. Every week, we'll bring new contestants with the most entertaining topics. Be sure to check out our voting page at SoYouThinkYouCanHost.com. Now, your host for all this is Kathy Bagan with Rise and Shine Products. You need to check out her website at WakeUpOnTime.com. So join us, won't you, for So You Think You Can Host, a radio contest and show with Kathy Bagan. Thursday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Born Mad, and the author is Robin Wheeler. And Robin joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, great to have you with us, and we're going to talk about a very serious condition that you've had for some time, but you've learned to deal with it, and that's why you want to share all that you've been through. Obviously, not easy to share, but at the same time, important to share. So we'll talk more about all those reasons why you've published your book. But let me read this first for everyone. Born Mad is about living with an undiagnosed mood disorder and how it affected my everyday decisions and distorted my sense of reality. Born Mad is also about my recovery, how I was actually happy to be diagnosed with dysthymic disorder and how taking daily medication for this disorder changed my life forever. So it's much more than being mad. Obviously, this is a mental condition. Take us back when you first discovered that you had this.
Well, I was first diagnosed in October of 2010, but I had to go through years of events to figure out that I had this disorder. It is actually a low-grade chronic depression, which means you always have it, but sometimes you don't feel depressed. Sometimes you feel happy and normal, just like everybody else. But when a small event, situation crops up in your life, you're one of those people who tend to exaggerate it and make it sound worse than it really is and overreact to it. And so back in 2008-2009, I had just numerous events that just piled up on top of me. I didn't know how to handle the first one and deal with my feelings on the first one. So all the subsequent events actually led me to be suicidal. And in 2008, I wanted to kill myself. So that's when I started seeking out counseling. I went to a therapist for over 2 years, and after the 2 years, I still wasn't getting the results that I wanted, and she suggested that I see a psychiatrist, and I did, and he's the one who diagnosed me with dysthymic disorder.
Dysthymic disorder. Never heard of it before. Is it so rare?
It affects 3-6% of the population that we know of.
Really? The general population?
Right. Which means there could be others out there with this disorder who don't know that they have it.
Right.
Because they've never heard of it. I'd never heard of it before I was diagnosed, which is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is because it seems like everybody has heard of bipolar and OCD and autism and ADHD. But after I was diagnosed, I was talking to family and friends and relatives, and very few of them knew what it was. Most of them had this strange look on their face like, what disorder?
Right. Well, in listening to you just briefly, no one would ever know.
Well, thank you. I've been on medication since October of 2010, and an antidepressant, a generic form of Prozac. And it's just absolutely been miraculous as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's just amazing the difference that it's made in my life.
What was it like writing the book?
Writing the book was a great experience. I only found one other book written by someone who had dysthymic disorder. The other information that I found about it was just facts about it and symptoms and things like that, but nothing from somebody who actually had it who gave specific examples as to what happened. So I've related a lot of personal stuff in this book, obviously, all my errors and my blunders and the way that I felt. But it was a great experience, and I hope that these stories can help other people. Maybe they're feeling the same way or reacting the same way to certain things, but they don't know that extreme anger or frustration or inability to make a decision is a sign of a mood disorder.
Anger you can't get rid of.
Right. I'm not talking about the anger where somebody cuts you off and, you know, in traffic and you're mad for a second. I'm talking about I would wake up in the morning not having even stepped out of bed, and I was mad.
Mad at what, or mad at who?
Everything. Mad at friends, family, events that have taken place. I was mad at everything. So, you know, in today's day and age, anger seems to be very prevalent
right
among a lot of people who
right
can't get rid of it. And I never knew that excess anger was a sign of depression. And maybe there's other people out there who don't realize that anger is a sign of depression.
Well, how do you get it? Or I mean, maybe that's not even possible to answer.
Dysthymic disorder?
Right.
It actually normally crops up in childhood or adolescence or early adulthood. I believe I've had it since early childhood, which is why the book is called Born Mad. You do need to have symptoms for over 2 years in order to be diagnosed with dysthymic disorder. So it can come on during adulthood, you know, if you had a death in the family or an illness or elderly, you know, people that have a terminal disease or something can develop it. They just have to have symptoms for over 2 years. But it's basically caused by genetics, neurotransmitters, upbringing. The Prozac that they put me on is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which means that my body was absorbing too much serotonin and I didn't have enough to function on. So once they put that serotonin back into my body, everything got better. Everything improved.
Well, we've all heard of Prozac, but is it a certain kind of Prozac that works, or is it unique to everyone?
I don't know how it affects other people, because I don't even know anybody else who has this disorder.
Oh.
Okay. I've never met somebody with this disorder.
Hmm.
And 3-6% of the population has it that we know of, so there's got to be other people out there who have this mood disorder. But
well,
I don't know how Prozac affects them. I don't know what effect it had on them. I can only tell you about me.
Sometimes do you see the possibility in young people, young children? I mean, do you see it and wonder?
Yeah, I do. And I believe I have other members of my extended family who may have dysthymic disorder. It is genetic, so it is possible if one person in the family has been diagnosed with it, it is possible for others in the family to have this disorder. I'm the only one in my family who has been diagnosed, but that doesn't mean I'm the only one in my family who has it.
So you trace your anger throughout your childhood and into adulthood and now midlife. Of course, you've been diagnosed with it. And you give specific examples of your rage. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them in the book. Let me see if I can think of a good one that I can give you an example of. Maybe one that might affect some other children. I was a biter when I was a kid.
Hmm.
I was 3-4 years old, and I bit my sister numerous times. I bit the neighbors. I bit the kids in preschool. I bit, and I'm not talking just, you know, I'm talking about biting into them like they're a juicy hamburger.
Wow.
I'm talking about drawing blood.
Right.
And it lasted for quite a while. And, you know, when the kids are toddlers and stuff, kind of sometimes biting is a normal behavior of, you know, experimenting and seeing what things are and that type of thing. But I'd get frustrated. And eventually my sister knew when I was going to bite her because I'd run towards her and my hands were in fists and they were clenched and I was running towards her with my mouth open. And she'd go running for my mother and tell my mother that I was going to bite her again and that she needed to do something.
What was it like for you to finally go to the psychiatrist? Was that a difficult thing to do?
No, it wasn't for me. At the time that I went, I had tried so many other things to get rid of my anger and nothing was working. And I knew that this was probably my last hope. So I actually sat in the psychiatrist's office praying to have some kind of disorder that might possibly be helped by medication. So, I mean, I was just so far at the end of my rope and so far down deep into a dark hole that I wanted to go and I wanted to have a mental disorder.
You wanted to find out what it was.
Yes, I wanted to find out why.
So you weren't upset in finding out.
No. This being diagnosed is probably the best thing to have happened to me.
I mean, it didn't make you feel weird or strange.
No, because all the answers were finally coming out. You know, it had been a mystery for so long, and now I finally had answers. And I had no idea that there was a disorder that could cause somebody to be frustrated and angry and not be able to make a decision and withdraw socially from other people and things like that. I had no idea.
So you will have to take antidepressants the rest of your life?
My psychiatrist says that after 18 months, I can, he will slowly wean me off of them. He will taper me down. I'm on 40 milligrams right now, so I'll probably go to 20, and then I'll go to 10 and work my way down. If I have any indication that I am feeling the way I was before antidepressants, I will let him know, and I will I will take Prozac for however long it takes. And if that's my entire life, then that's my entire life.
Because it's made such a difference.
Because it's made such a difference. And because this is something that is a chemical imbalance in my brain, if that chemical imbalance comes back as I start decreasing the serotonin, then I know how to fix it. The fix is to take medication, and I will definitely do that.
One of the messages in your book, you say, all depression is serious and should not be taken lightly.
Yes, I truly believe that. This is a mild depression, and it can sink into a severe depression very, very quickly. And even if it doesn't, the mild depression, the way that you think, the way that you handle things, it will, you'll make bad judgments. You'll make other people mad by the decisions that you make. You will destroy relationships in your life. And I wrote in my book about two of them. My sister does not speak to me anymore since 2008. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who doesn't speak to me since 2008 because my anger took over and I couldn't control it. And, you know, I said things that I didn't mean but at the time felt right. And I no longer have those people in my life. Hmm. So even if it doesn't sink into a severe depression, it should still be taken seriously.
You also say, be determined, try whatever treatments available to you. Do not give up.
Yes. I knew that I couldn't live with my anger. I knew that I couldn't live every day just waking up and being mad. And I was willing to try anything. I'd already tried meditation and going to church and emotional freedom technique. And, you know, I started listening to Wayne Dyer and all the wonderful people from Hay House and Balboa Press. And I still wasn't getting the results that I wanted. I had times when it worked and it was really, really, I was feeling really, really great. And then there were times where I just slowly sank down. I was kind of like on a roller coaster where I just went up and down and up and down and up and down. And by the time I went to the psychiatrist, I was asking my counselor for anything. I said, I'll try a lobotomy. I'll try exorcism. I'll try pot brownies, whatever it is, whatever that's going to help me, please, you know, send it to me because I can't live with all this anger anymore.
And finally, time we have left, you say, forgive everyone for everything.
Yes, and I truly believe that. If you don't forgive people for making mistakes, and all of us make mistakes, I wrote a book about all my mistakes. If you don't forgive, you won't get rid of your anger. And in order to be truly free, in order to be truly happy, truly peaceful, you need to forgive everybody for everything.
The title of the book, Born Mad, and the author is Robin Wheeler. Robin, tell us how to get your book.
You can purchase the book at balboapress.com. You can purchase it off of amazon.com. You can go to my website as well, which is bornmad.org. It's there. You can go to Barnes & Noble. It's available in hardback, paperback, ebook. So it's out there. There's plenty of places to find it.
Robin, thanks for being on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Freedom Within, and the author is Teresa Alexander. And Teresa joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning, Steve. Lovely to share with you and your listeners.
Well, great to have you with us all the way from Australia, Newcastle, Australia. It's just like you're in the studio with us.
I feel like I'm in the studio with you, and I have been to America, so I'm picturing myself there right here with the people.
Well, I'm going to read what you've written about your book, Freedom From Within. You say this: Freedom From Within guides readers through 26 chapters that have them reflecting on numerous questions posed for which they must find positive answers, such as, why the journey? Why life? Through these answers, they discover their own true selves. Each chapter takes them to a new level of self-awareness and offers them opportunity to rid themselves from the load of hurts and pain they carry and endure. Well, we're going to have you read some of your writings, your prose, and some of your poetry a little later. But first of all, tell us the experience that you had, this near-death experience that you had that motivated you to write the what you have done, Freedom From Within.
I was in hospital, Steve. I was not under the anesthetic. It was 3 days after my operation. They attempted something in the hospital that terrified me, and I decided to depart. And I knew that when my soul was out of my body, that what I thought was immediate. If I thought of a place, I was there. I could feel, I could touch. I couldn't touch. I had no physical form, but I could hear. And my mother and my grandmother had already passed, and I sent out the thought form. It's all by thought form. I'm not going to go back. And they said, you've got to go back. And I said, no, I'm not going back. And one of them sent the thought form, well, if you don't want your body, one of us will have it. Well, they called my bluff, and there was a jolt in my body immediately, and I was back in my body. So I knew from that time, Steve, that death is not the end. We pass off to a new dimension.
Well, some may find your story a bit controversial or even unbelievable, but it's your story, and it had a profound effect on you.
It had a big effect on me, and it's the reason that I wrote my book. I looked and I thought, okay, what's life about? It's not death, it's passing. It's not the end. There's a purpose for life, and freedom from within is the result of looking and writing.
You say when we are born, we are free. Somewhere, however, the joy is lost. Somewhere along the way, we allow our souls to slip into bondage. Now, how does that happen?
If we look at it this way, Steve, if we're going to climb a great big hill, we'd prefer not to carry a pack. But when we carry a pack of doubt, no self-worth, no self-esteem, and those other things, the pack gets heavier and heavier. And when we're born, we don't carry those things. And Freedom from Within will take the people through the 26 chapters to observe, and if they choose to, change and let go of the pain, and the weight will go so they can walk up the hill with no heavy pack and feel love around them and freedom.
Well, you want to help us discover and open our hearts to the divine presence within ourselves.
Most people, Steve, don't use the other 9/10 of the brain, and that is recognized by the scientists. And freedom from within is used from my 9/10 of the brain, and it is the gift of the divine. And once we use our 9/10 of our brain, we never feel alone again.
Well, share with us one of your writings, and you can make a comment after you read it.
Right, this is a short poem. It's called Open Pathways. Life has many chapters from the first one to the end, the different ones who share them every now and then. The road is ours to travel, to live and understand that each day is the only day we hold within our hand. With freedom for today, the world is at our feet. Pathways are open, exciting as a treat. Take this moment to fulfill the experience of the heart. Know that deep within, you have lived your fullest part.
Very, very well said, right to the point. I love poetry because it creates so much emotion and pictures. You can see things.
The main thing I think about Freedom from Within is it's two books in one, and the second book follows the gift of love, which is meditation poems like this one that give people a chance to do true meditation. And true meditation means order of the mind, positive, loving energy, empowerment.
You want to help us escape from the bonds of the ego.
You know, I'm a professional counselor, Steve, and people come to me and say, should I marry this person? What do you think? And it always amazes me and makes me feel a little bit sad for them, because the heart path is what they need to open up. And when they're following the heart path, the job of the ego, which is actually at the stomach center, if you've ever felt a hard little nick coming in there, it's because you're feeling fear. And the job of the ego is to support the heart center to make it happen, not make the decision. The heart makes the decision. The ego supports it to bring it through.
Why don't you share another of your writings?
Oh, I like this one, Steve. Faith in your growth to beauty. Under the ground and the fertile earth are the bulbs awaiting their full creation. Maybe forgotten, maybe you know, they wait for suitable conditions. Nature lifts the temperature as they quietly begin to grow. In the dark unseen, you may not even know. Then the green shoots appear as they grow from the earth with the promise of springtime to fulfill their true worth. The buds that form promise beauty to see, a scent so soft to please us now free. For the flowers now open in colour and form remind us our journey can suddenly transform. So if you appear blocked and you're not sure of the way, be still, count your blessings, your strength for today. Tomorrow will be brighter, your heart with a song, for faith in its beauty will carry you along. Your thoughts are your journey that you create while here. So be positive and think to sow goodwill and good cheer.
You've written so much, and what motivates or what creates the genesis of your writing? Is it some experience that happens, or just a thought, or a view of something? What creates this new idea that turns into a writing?
I've always had the ability to look at a person and to observe what's happening inside. And I have the gift to look at them and take a poem from inside them. And very often that poem is one that can give them strength. And there was another thing you touched on, Steve, and that was the word thought. And that is when people are aware that what they think is what they create in their life, whether immediately or years down the track, freedom from within offers the opportunity through meditation to put their thoughts in order of love, so that they create love and not negative things.
So the purpose of meditation, give us some more on that.
Most people associate meditation with sitting quietly or having crystals or different things around them. Meditation's true form is when you observe that your mind is thinking all negative things, that you cannot do it, you will not do it, nobody loves me. Meditation is observing the thought, halting it, and changing it to an affirmation of, I am loved, I can do it, I want to do this, it's in my heart. That's what meditation is about, putting your own inner house in order.
And you write that God is thought.
This is interesting for people to look at, but at the end of the day, God is not in physical form, but it was written, in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. It shows that the first thought, and we are made in God's image, what we think eventually comes into form. God is total love. Total thoughts of love create love. Love cannot be fragmented unless the individual changes their thought, which would come from the ego.
And as you put it, our thoughts create our experiences.
Exactly, Steve. I think we're both working on the same page here.
Well, share with us another of your writings.
Can I read one for the American people, please, Steve?
Please, please.
I've been to America 3 times, and this is my perception. America, think big. It's on page 294. America, think big. From the prairies to the Grand Canyon size and beauty, the mighty sequoia, the biggest tree in the world, Yellowstone National Park with the tallest active geyser, the battle steamer on the mighty Mississippi River, Walt Disney's gift to the world for children, family, all, with the largest theme park that the world can play and laugh. My visits to America have been filled with joy and caring. The people reached out with interest, with genuine rich sharing. My taxi driver said, here in America, we can achieve anything we want. It isn't where you come from, but where you want to go. The thrill of seeing my first tumbleweed as it was blowing across the desert, seeing the beauty of the Bryce Canyon with its colors bright and true. In the autumn, the leaves change their shades of green to the brilliant shades of orange, finally going red or gold from autumn through to winter. The Statue of Liberty representing the power of free choice, freedom for all without constraint or voice, a country offering service to take the world to a better place. May the people unite to serve for this powerful, loving race.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that about America.
And thank you, Steve. God bless you all.
Now, you also say that freedom from within allows others to share this journey of the self, leading to true awareness of the inner self. And that takes work and self-reflection. How much self-reflection?
When we are born, Steve, if you've ever noticed a little child, they automatically have this awareness. It's only with the conditioning of putting in the other things of fear, away your empowerment, away your true self, that people lose the ability to connect with that 9/10 of the brain that's there to be used. And fortunately for me, mind has always been with me. And it's recognizing when your mind's going like a rocket and learning to be still, stand barefoot in the ground, get grounded, or walk amongst the bush, the thought will come to you and you'll learn to trust it and you'll never be alone again.
Well, in closing, please sum up death, dying, or living.
Steve, when my soul left my body with a near-death experience, I was shown death is not the end. Freedom from within is the gift and the answer to the purpose of life. And I know that people are interested. It's the most feared thing in the world, talking about life with death. And freedom from within will indicate that death is not the end. It's really all about living.
Why don't you share in closing one more of your writings?
This one's called The Airport. I think I must be coming to... Oh, no, this is one for you, Steve, because you asked
okay.
about this. The secret of the poem. When pain is in the heart and the soul is very troubled, we need someone to talk to, our troubles to impart. If we feel alone, our pen we must employ to write down what is deep within and let the pages talk. If we read between the lines, the answers we will find. The problems we face up to have come from deep within our mind. But at our shoulder we have help to guide us day by day. If we deal with truth and love, we are guided on our way.
Well, thank you, Teresa. This is Teresa Alexander. She is author and poet, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love. Tell us how to get your book.
My book is available through Amazon.com. It's also available through BalboaPress.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can buy it, I believe that a lot of you buy e-books. That's a new word for me. But that's where you buy it, isn't it, on the internet?
Right, right. And you can download it, right.
Go for it.
That's right, go for it. Well, thank you for being on Indie Book Publishing and this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you very much.
Steve, it's been my pleasure. Enjoy your day or everybody as well. Thank you very much and God bless.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.